DW.
I've come to a leafy suburb of Bradford in the north of England to meet the Dick family. Phil Dick and his wife Kim are just two of thousands of people who drop their children and grandchildren off at an Ariana Grande concert at Manchester Arena back in May this year, just hours before a man in his early 20s detonated a homemade explosive device in the foyer in the name of so-called Islamic State.
The first few weeks I was just drinking every night.
Yeah, I mean, for me, to a great extent, I suppose I've just kind of compartmentalised it, built a wall around it and just got on.
Yeah.
Initially, Kim would go to sleep with the horrific image of that night at Manchester Arena in her head. And in the morning, she'd wake up seeing the same image in her mind. Phil and Kim had taken their daughter and granddaughter to the concert and were waiting in the foyer when the bomb exploded.
We were chatting to the merchandise guys and one of the arena staff, weren't we? Joking and laughing and everyone's smiling at each other, you know, the other parents waiting for our excited girls to come out really happy, and then it just happened. Then that was it. Boom.
Phil and Kim can still recall those awful moments after the blast.
We thought it was somebody messing about with fireworks, like a pyrotechnics type firework at first, but we realised pretty quickly it wasn't.
What could you see?
Nothing at first, because it was just dust and rubble. I don't know, just
smoke.
Smoke,
like an acrid smell.
And then screaming and
ash. Black ash falling like snow. And then
looking at each other, oh my God, and I knew it was a bomb, but I thought it had gone off inside the arena. So I'm thinking everybody in the arena's dead.
Luckily, a text from daughter Tammy confirmed that they were safe. But Kim recalls helping several injured people get to safety, including a young girl called Freya, who was losing blood rapidly.
As the dust and ash that were calming down, that's when this little girl was just staggering all on her own, because by this time, whoever could run out were running out. And I just went, oh, my God, Phil, I need to help her. And I just put my arms out and grabbed her and started taking her outside the foyer, thinking, get her to help.
Meanwhile, with dead bodies and body parts all around him, Phil saw something that he says will always stay with him, the remains of the bomber.
It's just the bottom half of his body.
How did you know it was him? How did you know that was the
bomber? It was obvious because the bomb had gone off, disintegrated the top half of his body. The bottom half of his body had been thrown through the double doors into the corridor with a recoil effect. It couldn't be anything other than either the bomber or someone stood next to him.
The effects of the things Phil and Kim witnessed that night are still manifesting themselves half a year later.
It's affected Kim very fundamentally, psychologically. It really has. She's found it really hard. But, you know, now, thankfully, at long last, she's started to receive some counselling.
I think I was in, like, a zombie state for weeks, wasn't I? Probably for about a month, and just doing stuff, just going through the motions. Having a drink every night to make me sleep, but it wasn't touching me. So then I realised, well, this is silly because it's not helping me sleep. And then about getting help, well, I thought, well, I was so brave that night. And, you know, even grown men are saying they would have run. And I've been told that even on the night, some people ran who were paramedics.
Have other people noticed a change in you and in both of you a little bit? Has any friends said anything out there?
They have over me.
Definitely over
me. Because I thought I didn't need it, and they've said, you know, you need to get the help. But I'm thinking, but why? If I was so brave that night, why should I need help?
And the thing
help?
Is, for me, I mean, it's been really, really difficult for me and other close family members to see how much she's been suffering. It's awful. You can't really understate the psychological impact of something like this. You know, most people never, ever see anything like this ever in their life, thank God. But to be exposed to it, and as Kim was, as we were, for over an hour, that, you know, it's a big thing. It's a big thing.
Jan Artingstall is a psychotherapist at charitable organisation TLC, Talk, Listen, Change, in Manchester, and has worked with some of the survivors of the bomb. She says the terror attack was made all the worse by the fact the night was meant to be all about fun.
It's associated with a pleasurable experience. So the excitement that a lot of those young people and families would have had attending the concert, and the anticipation of it, the whole getting ready and going with friends or going with brothers, sisters, and thinking that they were going to have an amazing night. And then it turned out to be a night of terror for them. That was awful. That was really awful.
But Jan says there is a positive that can be taken from such a hideous experience.
And that's called post-traumatic growth. And some of the victims that we've worked with have talked about how they've grown a lot of strength from what's happened, and they've got a better sense of self. And they actually feel, I've survived something quite major. And they turn that into good. People start up charities. They do sponsored walks and sponsored runs. One girl said that she'd been in hospital and she decided that in the future she wanted to become a nurse because that's how she was so impressed with how she'd been looked after. So there's lots of things that come out of this and they grow from it rather than all negative.
But back in Bradford, Kim and Phil do find it hard to be positive at times.
I don't know, just like shock and then guilt as well. We've felt guilt. You know, why us? How come? You've had all those questions.
We're 50-odd-year-old adults.
Yeah.
And we escaped unscathed. And yet there are young kids with their full life ahead who aren't here anymore. And that does make you feel...
Guilty.
A sense of guilt.
You've gone through guilt. You know, that survivor's guilt. I know what that feels like now. And I never understood what that meant. But, yeah, these are young children starting out in the life and... The lies were just gone, split second.
And both of them have since felt anxiety in public places.
Just over a week later, I was down in London at Wembley, and I've never experienced panic in my life before, but I did. As soon as I went through security check and into the foyer at Wembley, I was an absolute wreck, and I would never, ever have thought that I would react like that ever. And on the tube as well, and I'm looking at everybody. What's he doing? And it was very, very scary.
For all the negative feelings, there are some positives that have emerged from that night in May. Freya, the young girl, is still receiving treatment for her multiple injuries that night, but Kim is in regular contact with her.
You know, obviously the girls that we help, they're an inspiration. Them just thinking about them can pull me up and
so
think
something
right.
Has come out of it. You've got some new friends out of it, really.
Yeah, I got a message from Freya the other week. You've just got to rise above it, haven't you? Every time all these disasters and all these attacks, you know, the human thing, spirit is strong, and we've just got to rise above them.
Of course, the recovery process, both mental and physical, doesn't happen overnight. For now, the Dick family, for all their survivor's guilt, are just taking one day at a time. This is Ashley Byrne for DW in Bradford, in the north of England.
This report was brought to you by DW.